Hello, Craig.
Craig, the legend. He's back. Ryan, you're also a legend and you're back. I'm Tony. I'm all right. And I'm back. It's episode 52, TH Fantasy, huh?
Hell yeah. And there's actually a decent amount of players that I made a list of for this week's show. But I ultimately settled on one person just because he has a tie into last week's person.
Oh, fun. Before we get started and do our 52s of the week, I want to point out that according to that app that's probably a scam, it says we're no longer charting for Australia's sports podcasts. And what? I think that's probably because we fucked up the rugby one so much. but fuck you, Australia. No, I'm just kidding. If that was real and there's actually people in Australia that listen to us, you're the coolest people on earth. I swear to God.
Yeah, right? Hell yeah.
So, Ryan, go ahead. Tell us your 52. Let's get started.
Number 52 for this week is Chad Greenway. As I said, he played all 11 years, I think 10 seasons with Minnesota. I also picked this guy because he played his college football at Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's drafted in 2006. Surprisingly enough, he ran a 4.64 40-yard dash. Not for bad. Someone that's 6'3", 242 pounds, that's pretty good for outside linebacker.
Absolutely.
He, as most of these players are, when they were in high school, they played like all four sports. And this guy in particular, he is from South Dakota. He helped his high school in his junior and senior year win two consecutive state championships.
Hey, okay.
It's probably not too much to say because it's South Dakota, but still two state championships.
Half the teams they played were just cows.
Right. So like I said, yeah, he went on after high school and played in Iowa, did very well, so well enough that he was the 17th overall pick by Minnesota in 2006.
Wow. He was a first round pick, huh?
Yeah. In preseason of what would be his rookie year, he missed that entire season because in the preseason he tore his ACL.
Oof.
Yeah. But came back to be one of the greatest Minnesota linebackers on paper.
Oh, for sure. No, he was great.
Yeah. He does a lot of charity work for children in the Twin Cities to this day. He was actually in 2016, he was the Vikings nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Oh, cool.
I don't think he won, but he was their nominee. Every team gets to pick their guy or whatever.
What year was that?
2016.
Okay.
We can run down a few of his stuff. He had over 1,000 tackles in his career. He had a couple touchdowns, I think like 50-something sacks, something like that.
Okay.
I forgot to write it down. I'm just remembering off the top of my head what I thought I read.
Okay.
Let's see. So in keeping with the Manning family connection, as we said last week,
it's Paul Posluszny.
Yeah, Posluszny. So keeping it with the Manning family connection, Paul Posluszny had a pick six off of Peyton Manning for his only career touchdown. For one of this guy's two career touchdowns, he picked off Eli Manning in 2007 and had a 37-yard touchdown.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see. In 2009, he had two interceptions in one game off of Matt Stafford in Vikings' 27-13 victory. 2010, he had 144 combined tackles, three picks, 109 solo tackles. 2011, he set his career best combined tackle at 154 tackles, only 89 solo, though. In fact, six out of the 10 seasons he played, He had over 105 or more tackles combined.
Wow. Tackle machine.
Right? Yeah, and overall, it seems like he's a player who hasn't gotten involved too much with domestic violence or anything like that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's not a bad dude.
Right, he doesn't seem like a bad dude. Does a lot of charity work. He's an excellent number 52, I think.
You know what I think, and I don't know this for sure. I'm just guessing. If he went from South Dakota to Iowa to Minnesota, this dude fucking loves Casey's Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Pepperoni, of course.
For those of you not blessed to be from the American Midwest, Casey's is a gas station that serves pizza. And it's, okay, Casey's Pizza, better than Little Caesar's Pizza.
It's decent. It's just weird because, okay, we're kind of in the Chicagoland area. We're just starting to get Casey's, but like out in the country, like Iowa, you know, rural Illinois, rural Wisconsin, all those places, even Nebraska. I went out to Nebraska last year to visit a friend, do some fishing, and we met up with like one of his friends out there, and he was like, hey, you want me to order a Casey's Pizza? And I'm like, what do you mean? You can do that? You can just call a gas station and order a pizza? He's like, yeah. And we got it, and it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, actually,
it was like calling a pizza place and placing an order.
The last school that I worked in was in the rural part of the state, and it was a town of, I think, like 900 people. And the hub, the entire fucking town was based on the Casey's. It was like there was a bar and there was Casey's. So it was like the only place you could get food, like hot food in that town. So every day, all the juniors and seniors would come into the high school with their like Casey's breakfast burritos in the morning and shit. And off campus, like if you were ever at Casey's, you saw one of the kids. It was fucking hilarious.
Right.
So that is Chad Greenway. Chad Casey's Greenway.
That's right.
Hell yeah. I also am doing a linebacker this week. I'm doing Dick Ambrose.
Interesting.
Dick Ambrose, 1953 birth, New Rochelle, New York. Played college ball at Virginia. He was an all-ACC linebacker both junior and senior year. He was drafted in the 12th round of the 1975 draft. So, like, you know, that's pick, like, 400 or whatever. So usually those guys wouldn't make the team, but he made the team, and there were two injuries ahead of him at middle linebacker. So he ended up becoming the starter, and he held down the fort pretty well. Remember those like Browns playoff games in the 80s where they would lose fucking tragically?
Okay.
Like the drive. There was the drive in the Denver game when John Elway took him 98 yards to go to right. the Super Bowl. Like, he was on a bunch of those like heartbreaking Cleveland defenses.
Oh no.
He played in 106 games. He had 5 interceptions and he recovered 9 fumbles. Nice. He got injured at the start of 1984 and he spent the whole season on IR, and then they cut him and he retired. So he had an 8-year career, 9 you want to count the year that he didn't play. So even when he was playing, old Dickie Ambrose was going to school and taking classes. And so in 1987, he graduated magna cum laude, magnum cum laude from the Cleveland Marshall College of Law. Then he went into a private practice and spent over 15 years as a lawyer. So in 2004, he became a judge in Cuyahoga County, which is like, you know, the county that Cleveland's in, like the big right. one.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was a judge there from 2004 until December of 2021 when he retired. There is actually, he was the presiding judge in a pretty famous true crime case. Cleveland serial killer Anthony Sowell, aka the Cleveland Strangler. He was found guilty of 82 charges, including the murder of 11 women. So the jury had to recommend death. And so they did recommend death, but Dick Ambrose, as the judge, had to uphold their sentencing, which he did. Sowell would end up appealing all the way up to the Ohio Supreme Court, but the conviction was upheld. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. So he was set to die. He's on death row, but then in January of 2021, he was transferred to an end-of-life facility where he died of an undisclosed terminal illness. So pretty crazy that Dick Ambrose, 12th-round draft pick for the Browns, who played there for 8 years, sentenced a serial killer to death in Cleveland. I wanted to find a lighter note to end this little remember a guy with. And so I found his Twitter account. And he hasn't used it since 2016. But, like, he does that thing that, like, boomers do where they have whole conversations just tweeting back and forth at each other. So there's a lot of tweets that are like, tell the kids we'll be there at 6. Like, shit like that. It's fucking right. Hilarious. So if you're ever bored, look up Dean Ambrose. Or not Dean Ambrose, the pro wrestler. Let's look up Dick Ambrose, the former Cleveland Brown and Cleveland Judge. So those are our number 52. Our number's 52.
That's funny. Boomer Twitter.
Boomer Twitter, man. I love Boomer Twitter. It's fucking hilarious.
Hey, can you pick me up some guacamole when you get back from Jewel?
Or you're right. Or they'll be like, hope things are well. Dale had a heart attack, and it'll be like some like winky face emoji. And it's like, that's not what you think it means. All right. So I have 7 questions for Ryan. We usually do a popcorn quad thing where we do 7 of something. So I have 7 questions for Ryan about the rest of the season and beyond. So I want to actually ask you a question before our 7 questions. So I want you to answer yes or no, just one word answer, and then we'll move on. All right.
Okay.
Was Thursday's game, Broncos and Chargers, the worst Thursday night football game you've ever seen?
Yes.
All right, moving on.
This season.
I think it might be one of the worst games I've ever seen, and I love that shit. I had a great time. I love bad.
We still have next week's Chicago versus Washington, so we'll see.
Yeah, but like this shit was comedic how bad it was.
Yeah, it was bad.
It wasn't just like bad, it was like fun bad.
It was so bad that field goals were scored the whole time and it went to overtime.
Did you hear about the guy that put grand on no touchdowns scored in the game and made like 100K?
I saw that, yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, so Ryan, I'm going to ask you 7 questions and I want your takes, all right? Number 1, are the Colts dead?
Man, I don't know what's going on with the Colts, all right? They were supposed to come in. They got Jonathan Taylor, who's now out. Hopefully he's back soon. His injury doesn't seem that bad. Matt Ryan was supposed to be the second coming and help this team out after kind of okay performance with Wentz last year. I think they are, man. I don't think Frank Reich, this guy's a joke. Can't figure anything out. I don't understand it.
I, as you know, I bet that the Colts still make the playoffs this year, but I thought they were a dark horse AFC championship, maybe like the 1 seed in the AFC, and they're just toast. They're fucking toast.
I don't know what's going on with Matt Ryan. Is he just thinking about playing for the next year or two and making some money and leaving, just doesn't care how he does? I don't know. I can't figure it out. These guys, I don't know what's wrong with Jonathan Taylor. It's crappy because they have all these weapons.
Right. It's a mess.
Yeah.
All right. Number 2 is, at this rate, is Jalen Hurts the MVP?
At this. Oh, so not like right now, but.
Right now sounds great. Is Jalen Hurts the MVP of the NFL right now?
Right now? Yeah, I think it's close, but probably.
If you recall, one of my things that I said during the offseason that we both were kind of on was, neither of us were ready to say for sure if Jalen Hurts is the real deal, but we both said that we would know for sure if he was the real deal by the time this season was over. And I think that's true. We know. Okay. He's the fucking truth, you know? Like,
right.
Last year, going into this season, everyone's like, is he actually good, or is he just good for fantasy? And now we're like, oh no, he's fucking good.
Yeah.
All right, number 3. Do the Bills win the Super Bowl this year?
I think they got a good shot. I agree with Waleed, with what Waleed said earlier. I think it's going to be the Bills and the Ravens in the AFC Championship. Okay. Now who comes out of that? I don't know, but I think if everyone stays healthy, I mean, even with injuries to McKenzie and
Gabe Davis,
I mean, he's still doing it. I mean, Allen's still doing it. So I don't even, that team could be crazy if everyone's like super healthy. No one's ever really, really healthy, but
right.
I mean, he's making shit happen with, you know, injuries, and that's what you need to do. I think there's a good chance that they do. And if they don't, like, this is their year to do it. It's going to be tough.
All right, number four. Does Tua come back this year, Ryan?
Of course he does. Of course. They're gonna let the concussion stuff kind of rule down. I even think he'll be back sooner than later.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't on paper that he like broke anything or like has a serious injury. From what all I can tell is it's concussion protocol.
Well, and it's two concussions.
Two consecutive concussions?
Yeah, I mean, against Buffalo and then against the Bengals. So, like, I wonder if that's...
I thought that first one or the second one, they were like, oh, it was his back or something.
That was the first one, but, like, he was wobbly on his feet, and I think it was the general consensus that he had a concussion, and the back injury was just kind of a cover, and that's why the doctor got fired. Right. So, like... back-to-back concussions in a span of like 4 days or 5 days. I wish Tua would just take the year off and be like, fuck you guys. But he wants to be out there because he's right. A football player.
Well, right. I heard that he was able to do his ABCs, but all he got was ABC. That was it.
That's fine. That's fine.
I think he's okay.
3 out of 27 ain't bad.
All right.
All right, number five, Ryan, who has the first pick in the 2023 NFL draft?
Jeez. Well, we got to put Houston up there, maybe. Seattle, maybe, because I don't think they're going to be able to continue to play like they did last week. I think probably the best team to go with this. Houston at this point.
My pick is Carolina.
Even with their defense, I think their defense is going to help them at least win a few more games.
Okay, that's possible.
But, I mean, that's a good guess as well.
If they're we're all still,
right,
we're still we're four only, weeks in.
We only got 4 weeks of data so far.
Right. All right, next up. Does Mitchell Trubisky ever get another starting quarterback job in the NFL?
Absolutely not.
Nope. The jig is up.
He's done. He is done. They the experiment in Chicago. Was okay for the first couple years. Then he faded away. Now he went to Pittsburgh. Clearly showed that he's just... Can you even say mediocre? I mean...
He's fairly slightly, average.
Slightly yeah. less than mediocre.
Okay.
I don't think that deserves a starting job unless we get one of these crazy situations like we did this year where a big name player goes somewhere and like now Geno Smith's the starter in Seattle or something like that, you know.
Okay, so a backup that's kind of just a fill in, kind of like what happened in Pittsburgh.
He would need to fall into a situation where there's like literally nothing else a team can do except pick him up and start him, you know.
Okay. And then my last question for you, Ryan. Do the Lions draft a quarterback in the first round next year?
I think so. Goff is not their long-term answer. Yeah, he's doing great, but, I mean, it's a business. You got to think about the future. And if Goff is doing so great, why not have this guy that you get in the first round next year? I mean, assuming that they don't, it'll be interesting to see what pick they get in the draft, first of all, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I think that'll have a lot to do with it, because they're obviously doing better than they thought they were going to be, you know. Goff just turned it on. I don't know, something's just jiving with them. I think they still potential, if they have a, you know, top 20 pick, I think they'll still try to go for a quarterback if it's worth it.
Okay. And yeah.
Who knows? I mean, Goff's not that bad of a guy to learn off of. You know, he's got some experience with the Rams, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got experience with, I like the coaching staff in Detroit. There's a lot They're to awesome. Learn from those guys. Yeah. So why not try to groom someone?
Yeah. That makes sense to me. All right. Yeah. So now we've got three more things to do. First and foremost is
Ryan's mid-tier, kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Okay, this week, it might sound a little bit obvious, but I'm going with Quentin Morris, backup tight end on the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Number one, Dawson Knox is already ruled out. I know that Josh Allen does not like to historically throw, or I shouldn't say historically, because Dawson Knox had 9 touchdowns this year. For some reason, he's just not going that way this year. It just seems like this year, maybe they're not going so much towards the tight end. But I think there's a chance for a Quentin Morris touchdown this week, especially against Pittsburgh. This game could get out of hand real quick, and who knows? Maybe Allen throws 4 or 5 touchdowns in the first half. I'm just hoping that Quentin Morris is one of them.
I love it. I think that's pretty great. Like, that's a real deep dive, a real like weird play that I like a lot.
Someone else who's coming up, who saw a decent amount of work last week. I think he had, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 targets. Who has actually a good matchup this week against Washington is Chigo Conquo, tight end for Tennessee. I think he's got a chance for a touchdown too. Some other notable ones that are down there but not as deep as that. I like Evan Ingram and I like Irv Smith this week. I like their matchups. They got chances for touchdowns too. And that's really what I'm trying to do with the mid-tier tight, kind of shitty tight ends of the week. I'm trying to identify these super low, super not owned players for DFS that have the potential for touchdowns. But my lowest one at 4,200 this week, Quentin Morris.
That's awesome. I like that. That's good in-depth insight. I'm going to bring back one of my running bits here. I am going to pick a DFS wide receiver under what I call the Jamal Agnew line. Now that Jamal Agnew's back, I can play. My goal is to find a wide receiver play that's cheaper than Jamal Agnew on FanDuel this week.
And Agnew was 5,300, I believe, this week.
Agnew is 5,300 on FanDuel. So as I look through my options here for cheaper than 5,300, I look at 5,200 Rondale Moore. Now, I talked about this during the stream on Twitch earlier today, but if AJ Green is back and Rondale Moore plays, first off, Moore's ADOT last week, people that listen to the podcast know that I harped on Rondale's ADOT. It was like 1.4. And I was like, he's going to get Christian Kirk's targets, which were about 12 yards downfield. Well, Rondale Moore's average depth of target last week in his first week back was 11.4 yards. Now, with AJ Green back on the outside, Moore is going to be playing in the slot, and he's going to go against Avante Maddox for the Eagles, who allows a reception on 70% of the balls targeted towards him. So my Jamal Agnew line deep tier wide receiver is Rondale Moore. If Rondale Moore can't go, take all the wonderful shit I just said and put it on Greg Dortch, who is actually 4,900 this week.
Wow, he slipped to 49?
Well, Rondale's back, so...
Right. I didn't think he would drop that much, though.
Yeah, it's true.
That's crazy.
So, do you want to do a super flex lineup before we go, because they've been a lot of fun.
Sure. Yeah, last week ours didn't cash.
I don't think it did. No, it did not.
The one the week before was really good, though.
It was, and I'm willing to put $5 on us today. So when you're ready, I think that we should join the Superflex Tournament 1K NFL Small Rush. It's $5, and we're in with 238 other people. All right, so let's have some fun, Ryan. Let's each take a quarterback here. So who do you want to play this week at your quarterback spot?
I got to go with Burrow. Just because of the end of last year's game against them, he just went balls out on Baltimore's defense, and they're still like the same defense.
So then do you want to pair him with Ja'Marr Chase, or do you want to pair him with T. Higgins?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the one we did earlier with Waleed paired him with Chase. I feel like this is a Chase game. We also didn't get any exposure to Higgins, though, and I don't know. Let's see.
I'm not against both.
Actually, Higgins is questionable.
He's been limited all week in practice, but he's practiced every day.
Yeah, and the Ravens are allowing the most points per game to the wide receiver position this year. Yep. Let's just go Chase.
Chase it is. All right, so then I am going to respond to that by going with someone that I have no problems loading up on this week, and it's Tom Brady. And then that means that we put Mike Evans in. So we have two stacks in right now. Do we want to look at a cheap tight end?
All right. Let's see here. Do we want to go super cheap and do Quentin Morris?
I want to not do that. I like Hunter Henry at 4,500. I like Tyler Higbee if we go a little bit more expensive. I don't mind Conklin. I don't even mind Mark Andrews as a run back to our Cincinnati play.
Well, let's see. Let's put Andrews in and see.
6,366. That's a good amount of money left. I think we find a cheap flex play and then get good running backs.
Like super cheap? Probably going to have to be, right?
Yep. This is where we find our bargain basement guy. Tyler Algiers, 5,700. Probably a little too expensive.
Elijah Moore.
I'm not against Elijah Moore here. At 5,300?
Yeah. I do think he's going to start getting more back in the groove with Wilson, so.
Right. And then, yep. And who do you like as our overpowered running back one? I like James Robinson. Dalvin Cook at 73 is still really good.
Yeah, I think we got to do Cook.
Which leaves us at 65, which is good, actually. There's Jeff Wilson right there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jeff Wilson is a play I like a lot this week. He's been getting all of the 49ers running backs, touches. You know, when they're going to be up big, he's going to be a garbage time producer. He got 7 carries inside the 10 last week. I like Jeff Wilson Jr. a lot.
Do it.
So here we go. Joe Burrow, Dalvin Cook, Jeff Wilson, Ja'Marr Chase, Mike Evans, Mark Andrews, Elijah Moore, Tom Brady. Ryan, let's make some fucking money this week, dog.
And this is like a tournament, too. It's like it's not just double up, right?
Nope. This is a 238 person tournament. It's $5 entry. And if we're in the top 55, so the top, like, you know, 20% more or less, we get $10.
I believe that's what we got last time.
Yeah, but we're going to get first this time, so it doesn't even matter. So that's it for us here at TH Fantasy for the week. Ryan, you got anything for us before we go?
No, I don't think so. I just I got really high hopes for the games this week. On paper, a lot of these games look like they're gonna be really good for DFS and gambling. So
yeah, Ryan's got really high hopes. I got really high. And so for me, Ryan and Craig, this is episode 52. Fuck you, Australia.
No longer ranked.
Exactly. Yeah, good night, everybody.
Everyone enjoy their Sunday.
Go your fantasy teams. I hope you have a great day. Good night.
Good night. Oh, yeah. Pepperoni, of course.